It is Thursday, and it's a Thought Leader Thursday, as it always is, in our Thought Leader conversation this morning. Doug Myers is here. He's a Senior Vice President, Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. And our conversation this morning is going to focus a little bit on back to school. Doug, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
A little chill in the air, a little autumn chill. How was your summer?
Summer seemed to fly by. You know, you turn around and now it's fall.
Right.
And I'm thinking about what happened to the summer. It just was yesterday. We were in May.
Right. And I feel like before long, we'll be talking about snow and winter. And
it'll be here probably next week before you know it.
Well, one of the things that comes along with fall is back to school. And lots of parents sent their kids to college this fall. Some went back to college for another year. We found a WalletHub survey that talks about college and wealth management. It's not something you think of college kids thinking about or parents thinking about for their kids. A couple of things at play were how much debt college kids are in from student loans, but then how much they're actually earning when they get out of school. It presents some challenges for wealth management, doesn't it?
It presents huge challenges, and I have two kids in college myself right now, and I think the wealth management and financial planning discussions revolve more around the parents than the students right now, because we have to figure out how to pay for these ridiculous college tuition bills that, that come around this time of year. And it's significant, and it's amazing how much college tuition costs have risen over the past, you know, look at 20 years. You know, the inflation rate has been very nominal over the past 20 years, and you look at college costs going up, you know, 5, 10, 15% a year for the past 20 years, it's astounding how much it takes to educate our children.
Yeah. What should that discussion be? Obviously, it should probably include the parents and the kids, or the kids if they're paying for their own school. But what should be the focus of that conversation?
Well, it's interesting because as millennials are in college and come out of college, there's a lot of challenges they face. Number one, they face how to get a job pay off student loans, which are significant now. If you read the average student coming out of college, the average student loan is something like $20,000+. But, you know, you hear stories about, you know, you go to law school or you go to medical school on top of that. These kids are coming out of college with $80,000, $100,000, $150,000 of debt, which is a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And so they're paying these school debts. They can't afford to buy homes because they already have a mortgage in the student loan debt. So that presents a challenge. And the other challenge with these students is getting a job. And they might have a degree in sociology, for example, or the arts. And their salaries are very low coming out of these programs. And so it's a double whammy, so to speak, on how they establish themselves as an adult and start budgeting and start preparing for a life and getting married and having kids and buying cars and buying houses and things. And it's a big challenge for these kids. On the other side of the equation, the adults, you know, how do you prepare for saving for college tuition? As we counsel our clients and sit down and have financial planning meetings, I think it's so important to start early and save a significant amount of your paycheck every month. And, you know, when I was coming out of college, my dad always said, save 10%. And as long as you start saving when you're 21 versus 35, if you save 10% every year of what you make or every month, you're going to be fine. But the statistics are, if you start at 21 versus if you're 31 or 35 or even 40, like a lot of people do, there's no catch-up. You cannot catch up and prepare when you're starting that late. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's interesting you compare it to a mortgage, because some of the terms of these student loans are 20 years, 20 plus years. And so they have this debt they're carrying with them. The survey we were referring to is from WalletHub.com and says Illinois ranks 15th for student indebtedness for loans and 25th in terms of the student's ability after they graduate to earn the potential to pay off their debt. So we're kind of halfway in the middle of one and close to the top of the other.
And it's interesting with the budget crisis we face in Illinois, and I know the colleges have certainly been a beneficiary of the problems of the Illinois budget process, or lack thereof, I might say, and it becomes even more important for students to borrow to go to these schools because there's less state funds that the schools are getting. And I think it's it exacerbates the problem for these students.
I often hear the term perfect storm. I hate using that term, but in this case, I think it applies because you have the situation with wages being pretty much stagnant in the economy. The student loan problem is actually impacting the national economy now because of some of the things that you mentioned, the home thing, but it's also, you know, keeping kids from participating fully in the economy. It feels like it's unsustainable, that all of these different things compiling to make this problem are unsustainable.
Well, it's interesting because I do read about the millennials, and we're talking about millennials who are just coming out of college or might be in college right now. The statistics were they weren't buying homes. You know, they're buying these small or renting these small apartments, and that's kind of the trend right now, that they wanted to be mobile and they wanted to be free of things. Mm-hmm. And I think the tide is turning, and I think as they become, you know, a little bit older, they're getting in their late 20s, early 30s, that in fact they are buying houses now, and they're buying the things that we as adults have always done as well. And so I think that trend is turning. It's going to look a little different, I think, with the younger set right now because of the student debt issue and the things we're talking about.
One area of employment for a lot of folks, and it's growing, is we call it the gig economy, whether it's driving for Uber or being a host on Airbnb or you name it. By 2020, 43% of the country could be employed in the gig economy. What challenges does that present for wealth management?
I think the challenge is, as these people that you mentioned are exploring other forms of the economic sort of the picture, so to speak, you know, they don't have the traditional pension plan. They don't have the traditional 401k. They're self-employed. And I think the challenge is to sit down with clients and say, look, you have got to start preparing for your future, and you've got to start setting up your IRA if you don't have the 401k from a traditional company that some of us have had in our careers. And I think you have to start thinking about, you know, if you're making $100 a week, you have to set aside $10 a week. And, you know, if you can do that once again when you're young and early, you're going to be taken care of as you get older. But, you know, you can't rely on the company or you can't rely on the pension plan to take care of you anymore. It's got to be on your own fruition. And I think you've just got to realize, these clients have to realize, that it's up to them to start saving. And that's a hard concept when you're early and young. Mm-hmm. I think you have to, you know, as you get older, you mature, and it becomes more important. But I think you have to, especially for the younger people in participating in this type of economy, you really have to set goals and plans and stick to it. And that's the only way you're going to survive, is if you have a roadmap and follow it and stick to it.
Have wealth managers shied away from this group over the infancy of the beginning of it, the gig management or the gig employees, because of their earnings? Or how would you describe the wealth manager's interaction with the gig economy?
I mean, that's a really good question, Steve. I think when we talk about wealth management, you know, we get a little nearsighted and talk about people that have a lot of money. And those are the kind of people that need our help in asset allocation and figuring out tax planning and estate planning and those complicated issues as you get, you know, you have more means and get older in your stage of life, so to speak. And I don't think the younger people are real served very well with the wealth managers or the financial planners, because I think they are overlooked at some point. I think a lot of the banks and a lot of the firms are focusing on the wealthy segment, and that's kind of the wealth management segment that we've always been in. But I think it's going to be more and more important as we go forward to address these issues. I think you bring up very good points.
We're also seeing, too, the marketing of some of the top wealth managers in the country change a little bit. One of the groups, eMoney, is starting to focus some of its advertising on the gig economy, actually going out in their ads and saying, hey, we know you're working job to job, but still we want to manage your wealth. Is that something that has to change too?
I think so, and I think that's smart for firms to address. I mean, if you look at the demographics, it's a big number and getting bigger. And I think it's smart for these firms to focus on this demographic for their wealth management, financial planning, and for their financial selling financial products to these kind of people.
We found an interesting article that talks about Ben Franklin, one of the founding fathers, talking about the economy and wealth management and personal finance. And going through the list of things here that he said way back in his time, they apply today. He talks about frugality and saving. He talks about debt and complacency. Isn't it amazing that some of the things that he talked about, and this was like one of the first personal finance managers, is still alive today?
It is amazing, and these concepts that he is quoted in saying is more relevant today probably than ever.
Yeah, Ben Franklin's book, I think it was called The Way of Wealth, was published in 1758. And he talks about one of the things you mentioned earlier about saving 10%, I think, is in there. Talks about don't keep up with the Joneses, all of those sorts of things. Does this sort of stuff change, or will it change, or will this be the Bible forever?
I don't think so. I look at this article that we're reading, and I think these are the same things I'm trying to tell my children.
Yeah. He says at one point, he said, make sure that your asset allocations of your savings is aligned with your stage in life. That sort of sounds like what you just said about 10% going into savings.
Absolutely. It's a time-honored tradition of financial advice that I think is very, as I said, very relevant today, probably more relevant than even back then.
You know, as we come to the close of the year, you're going to do your predictions are going to be due. Have you thought about yet what the end of the year predictions are going to be? Or
we have. I think the stock market has been continually strong this year. It's had a few dips recently, but I think overall it remains strong. I think we're still seeing a trend for higher interest rates. I think we're looking at a couple of interest rate increases next year. They haven't been as prevalent as we thought this year. There's been two or three, but I think we're going to see a couple more next year. I think as the economy continues to roll along, the stock market continues to be strong. The unemployment numbers are very low, so I think if you look at the statistics going into next year, things look good, and I think we're anticipating another strong year in the markets, and I think we're going to be fine.
Do you think when the year is said and done that we'll look at our portfolios and all of us who are in wealth management will be happy by what we see from this year?
I think so. The market has been good, and like I said, we've had some dips, and of course the world is very volatile right now, and there's things going on that could affect it. But I think if you stay the course, and I think if you keep to your roadmap and stick to your plan, that's what we tell our clients. And I think it has served us well up to this point.
Doug, it's always good talking with you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Doug Myers is the Senior Vice President, Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation every Thursday here in the Opening Bell. You can listen to past conversations, too, at WGNRadio.com on the Opening Bell page. You can also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thoughtleadership and listen to all of our conversations as well. Make sure you follow Associated Biz on Twitter. This is the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.